We're going to speak about the secret of marriage in Parshat Bereishit. I have to come clean right in the beginning, you know, like in those New York Times articles. Now, every time you're connected to something, you have to say, you know, I work for the New York Times company or something like that. So I'm going to admit it. My son, Ariel, just got married last year before Pesach. And my daughter Maria is engaged and just became engaged before Sukkot. So clearly, I have marriage on the mind, so that's why I picked this topic. Number two, all the years in Midrashat Yom Rishon, I've been speaking about the Nashim in Tanakh, the Nashim in Tanakh. We spoke about, I think, almost every single one in Tanakh, and also, of course, a lot of the male figures in Tanakh. We did not forget them either. We did a lot of Yehuda and Reuven. Give us credit. You know, we tried to cover a large gamut, but we never studied the idea of Isha, or the idea of Ish and Isha, and the idea of marriage. So I thought, why not? It's appropriate right now that we're going to do it. We're going to do it in two ways. The two ways we're going to do it is, number one, we're going to see in the Pshat, in Perek Aleph and Bet in Chumash, what is the depiction of Isha in Pshat? And then we're going to see in Midrash and Parshanut, what is the view of the Parshanim? And there are two themes that I'd really like to discuss today. Number one, I want to discuss what is the message that the Pshat is really giving over about Ish and Isha in Perek Aleph and Bet in Bereishit. And number two, how do the Mefarshim understand it? And through that, I'd like to also explain, when Parshanim do Parshanut, what are they really trying to tell you? Are they just trying to tell you what the words mean? Or are they trying to give you a hashkafat olam? Are they trying to give you a whole worldview of how you're supposed to live your life, how you're supposed to see things, and how you're supposed to conduct yourself? So that's really what I'd like to do today. Number one, see in the Pshat. And number two, how the Parshanim really understood the language in Torah, and what messages are they really trying to give you through their Parshanut. So in the time that we have together, I'd really like to do that. So we're starting in the beginning of Parshat Bereishit, Sefer Bereishit, and we're going to try to see what are the themes that we have in Bereishit. Clearly, when the Torah is telling us about Parshat Bereishit, it's not giving us a blueprint that if we wanted to create the world, how could we do it? Which means it's not giving us enough information, right, in order to create the world, or how Hashem created the world. So the question is, so what are the messages in Parshat Bereishit? Not only about Ish and Isha, man and woman, but also about creation, or our role in the world. And again, what are the views of the Parshanim regarding this? So this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do today. So in Bereishit Perek Aleph, Bereishit begins, Bereishit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve et ha-aretz, Hashem created heaven and earth, ve-aretz hayta tohu vavohu, ve-choshech al pnei tehom, ve-ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha-mayim. Right, we all know the first words of Parshat Bereishit. And then Hashem says he wants there to be light. And once Hashem sees the light, vayar Elokim et ha-or kitov. Hashem sees that the light is good. One of the main themes that we have in Perek Aleph in Briah is the idea of kitov, goodness. It's positive. Everything that Hashem creates is really positive. It's something that is creative, right? And it's something that is good in and of itself. Vayavdel. But we also have another theme all throughout Perek Aleph in Bereishit, and that is the idea of Havdalah, separation, which means everything being its own identity, its own unique existence, is also very important in Perek Aleph in Bereishit. Everything has its own separate identity, and Hashem separates constantly between different things, and things really develop for their own type. Vayavdel Elokim ben ha'or ben ha'choshech, vayikra Elokim la'or yom, ve'la'choshech kara layla. Also, the idea of definition, giving things a name, is very important, Perek Aleph. So identity, definition, separation, creativity, and goodness are all themes that we have in Perek Aleph. Vayihere vayivoker yom echad, first day of creation. So we're going to move ahead. If you look in Bereishit Perek Aleph, the psukim that I really pulled out for you, in number two, we see this theme again. If you look in Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Vayivra Elokim et ha-taninim ha-gdolim ve-et kol nefesh ha-chaya ha-romeset asher shartzu ha-mayim le-mineihem. Another theme that we have in Perek Aleph is also this idea of to its own kind. So this idea of identity, this idea of separation, this idea of being of your own kind is a huge idea in Perek Aleph. If you look at the psukim, right, l'minehem, kol of kanaf l'minehu. And what does Hashem see about this? Kitov. So having your own identity, being your own kind, having your own definition is very important in Perek Aleph. And constantly we have this idea of liminehem, to your own kind, different. Pasuk Kafbet brings a new idea. Vayivarech otam Elokim. Already by Pasuk Kafbet we have the idea of bracha, of blessing, which means not only do we have separation or goodness, we have the idea that Hashem gives a bracha to the world, which means a bracha, a blessing, is a step beyond just Hashem pronouncing that it is good. And what is this bracha? Vayivarech otam Elokim lemor pru urvu. The idea of bracha is also of being able to make more of yourself, to produce more of what you became, which means that the animals, the beings, have the ability to make more of themselves, to be creative in and of themselves. So in Bereshit Perek Aleph, not only is it good, but we have this bracha that everything in this world has the power that it could really recreate itself. And we really have a hierarchy here. We started with just light and dark. We come to the birds, and then we're moving on to the bigger animals, right? And everything is to its own kind. And what does Hashem see? Kitov. Now we come to our important pasuk, because we want to speak about humans. Also, what I'd like to emphasize here is the idea of hierarchy. We start from the bottom, as we said, and we're now coming to the crown of creation. And what is the crown of creation? The crown of creation is man. Pasuk Kavav. Vayomer Elokim. So what does Hashem say? Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu. The only thing that's created in the image of God that really has a hint of Tzelem Elokim is man. Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu. V'yodu b'tgatayam u'ba'of Hashamayim. What's the role of man? To rule. V'yodu. To be in control of the other things. So far everything makes more of itself. Hashem gave it a bracha, but the only thing that controls other things is man. So when Hashem says, Na'aseh Adam b'tzalmenu kidmutenu, part of what we are is in the image of God, is also our ability to control the rest of the world. Hashem creates the world, and we have a goal in order to really control and rule part of the world. We know the famous, beautiful piece, Lonely Man of Faith of the Rav. The Rav identifies Perek Aleph as majestic man, which means man is controlling, man is ruling. Man is really the one who sees the world and sees his creative energies and can really create more and really be the pinnacle of creation here. But how is Adam created? Adam is created, Vayivra Elokim et Adam b'tzalmo, we're in Pasuk Kav Zayin, b'tzalem Elokim bara oto, zachar unikeva bara otam. Really, if we wanted to imitate the animals, we wouldn't have Tzelem Elokim about man. And also, what would we say about man? Limino, or liminehem. Instead of saying zachar and nekeva, male and female, we would say what we said about all the other creations, that they are liminehem, to their own kind. They are vayavdel, they're separate, they're their own kind. And yet, what we have with Adam is a very interesting concept. We have multiplicity and unity in the same concept. What does that mean? We have nas. Vayivra Elokim et ha'adam b'tzalmo, man, b'tzalem Elokim bara oto, he was created b'tzalem Elokim, but zacharu nekeva bara otam. Are we talking about one unit, or are we talking about two units? Are we talking about man, or are we talking about male and female? Why do we have this division in this pasuk? And that's very important to us for what we're going to speak about today. Number two, we have the famous Rashi that we all know. I didn't print it out for you. But the famous Rashi of Na'aseh Adam. What did Hashem have to do? Hashem had to ask the malachim, right, out of tzni'ut and out of a lesson for us that we should be humble. Hashem asks all the malachim, right, and asks them advice about creating man. But in the end, how does Hashem create him? Vayivra Elokim, right? Hashem creates him alone, which means even though he asks advice from the malachim, right, still Hashem creates him alone. The question Rashi asks is why? Why ask? It only brings trouble, right? If Hashem's asking, there are other beings, are there other gods, right? So Rashi says, number one, the lesson is to show the tzniut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that should teach us, derech eretz, that we should learn, that we should be humble. That if we ever want to do something, we should always ask advice of other people. But also, there's another theme that really runs throughout Rashi and Perek Aleph and Perek Bet, and we're going to hit this a little later as well. And that's the idea of harmony. What is the theme of creation? The theme is harmony. We see that when Hashem creates light, what does He create on the other side? Darkness. When Hashem creates the me'orot, the different kind of me'orot. the luminaries. When Hashem creates the heavens, what does he also create? The earth. Which means everything is harmonious. Everything has a balance in this world. Everything really has to work one with the other, which means harmony, balance, unity, right, is a very important theme of creation. So when Hashem asks the Malachim, why does he ask the Malachim if there are these other lesser beings, right, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the idea is because Hashem wanted to make sure that the world was created in harmony, that everyone agrees to what is created, which means that this idea that things should flow and harmonize is a very important theme in creation, and Rashi wants to emphasize that theme. Keep that in abeyance because we're going to bring that back. The idea of harmony is very important in this question of Na'aseh Adam. But also we have this question, what does it mean to be one, and what does it mean to be two? Are you one, or are you two? Are you Tzelem Elokim bara oto, or are you Zachar Nekeva bara otam? So we're going to really delve into that idea today. Obviously, that's going to be one of our main themes. Pasuk Kavchet, but again, we want to see how it comes out of the Pshat, and we have these questions. What do we see in Pasuk Kavchet? Vayivarech otam Elokim, right? Hashem creates them. Hashem makes them B'Tzelem Elokim. Isn't making you B'Tzelem Elokim enough of a bracha? If you're made in the image of God, that's a great bracha, right? That's unbelievable to be B'Tzelem Elokim. But in addition to being created B'Tzelem Elokim, Hashem also gave Adam a bracha. Vayivarech otam Elokim, which means when Hashem gives the bracha to man, it doesn't say Vayivarech oto, Vayivarech otam. So again, what do we have? This unity and multiplicity. This unity and multiplicity. Is man one, or is man male and female? What's the main identity of man? To identify male and female separate, or to see this humanity, man, as one unit? Vayivarech otam Elokim vayomer lahem. Hashem tells them, pru urvu, just like the animals, man also should be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, and vikivshua, which means to conquer the earth. So we have the idea of conquering when Hashem plans to make man, and here again we have a double language of conquering. Kivshuha uredu, conquer the earth and also rule the earth. So again we have this interesting idea, which means man's role in Perek Aleph is really to conquer, to be in control, to really be in the image of God. God creates, man creates. And what does it say? Pasuk Kaftek, Vayomer Elokim, Hinei Natati Lachem Et Kol Esef Zera Zorea. Okay, what does it mean? Man should eat everything, right? All the grass, everything that was created is for man to make use out of, right? And everything that is on the earth also eats, procreates, lamed aleph, vayar elokim et kol asher asa, vihine, tov ma'od. Everything else was tov. Sometimes we have tov mentioned twice, but here we have tov ma'od. So when man is created, we have this idea of not just regular goodness, but tov ma'od. So clearly man is on a different level, Yom Shishi is on a different level, and we see this pinnacle of creation is the idea of man, majestic man. Let's do the Rashi. Rashi, Breshit, Perek Aleph. So what is Rashi going to say on Zacharu Nekeva Bara Otam? Because later in Perek Bet, what do we know? Woman was created from the side of man, right? So was man created as one, male, and then female came out of him, or is female around already right in the beginning? So we have this most famous midrash to answer that question. You have to understand midrash is usually textually based. It's either homiletical or hermeneutical. Homiletical, it gives a drasha on the pasuk, and hermeneutical, it's really trying to give you perush hamilim. It's really trying to answer a very difficult issue in the text. This midrash is really hermeneutical, because bara oto, bara otam, which means, is man one, or is man more than one? Is man male and female, or is male just male? And then in Perek Bet, we see how female was created. So Rashi's bringing in, ulahalam u'omer, and we'll see in Breshit Perek Bet, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, it says, vayikach echad mitzalotav, right? When Hashem wants to create woman, he takes one of the sides of man. You know, it's only one little midrash that says we were created from the rib. Selah really means side, the side of the Mishkan, right? And that one midrash about rib, Adam's rib, became very popular. But really, it's the idea of side, like Selah HaMishkan, the side of man. So woman was created from the side of man. And that's how we have this famous, really more basic and classic midrash. Midrash Agadah, we have in the Breshit Rabban, it's copied many other places. Shebra'o Shnei Partzufin. That man was created, really male and female, two heads, connected one to the other, as one unit in original creation. Du partzufim, two faces, two heads, right, two bodies pretty much connected, kind of like Siamese twins, right? Bibriya rishona v'char kach chelko. Then they were separated. And the question is, the Torah writes very clearly, B'tzelem Elokim bara oto, zacharu nekeva bara otam. It's one, And it's more than one. It's two together. And what's very interesting is that this midrash of two partsufim, of man being really male and female, has a very important role in parshanut. We find that the Ramban uses this midrash. We have a lot of parshanim using this midrash. But what's more interesting to us is that we also have the Ibn Ezra, who's really a very strong pashtan from the Spanish school, right? Ibn Ezra also brings in this midrash, because what does it say? Oto ve'otam. Which means, what do you do with this one unit, but two units, they're really together? Which means this is a very important textual issue. And what is the hashkafa of this textual idea? That man is one, but man is really more than one. And that's really what we're going to see today. Which means, what does that tell us? What does that tell us about the relationship of man and woman? What does that tell us about marriage? What does that tell us about the role of women in the world versus the role of man in this world? Is there a versus, or is it really we started all as one? So there's something that's really the commonality of man and woman is really more trenchant than the difference between man and woman, which also plays an important role. So that's a very important hashkafic question that we're going to see the Parshanim really dealing with. So what is Rashi telling you? Really, what were they? One unit, male and female, du partzufin, v'achar kach chelko. But pshuto shel mikra, but Rashi's also bringing pshuto shel mikra, as you all know. Rashi many times brings drash and pshat. Many times Rashi will bring pshat first, then drash. The prevalent view today is not that Rashi always loves pshat, and if he can't find a good answer in the pshat, we'll bring drash. Really, what Rashi is doing is Rashi wants to teach on both levels. The pshat, what are the words saying, but also what are the words saying to you from the hashkafa point of view, and what can you see in Chazal and Midrash that reflects the words of the psukim and the hashkafa. So Rashi wants you to understand right from the get-go, and he's bringing the Midrash first, that what's the real impact of this pasuk? Du partzufin nivru. Male and female really started as one. Also, you understand, it could be that man was created first in Perek Aleph, and then woman was created from his side in Perek Bet, not necessarily from du partzufin, the two connected as one. Okay, upshuto shel mikra, kan hotiyachash nivru shnehen bashishi, they were both created on the sixth day, but it didn't tell you how they were created. So we have a general information in Perek Aleph. And in Perek Bet, we get the details. Do you understand? It's a very different view, saying that really they're both together and then split, but just that man was created, and then we get the details later on. Okay. So what is Perek Bet? If we're talking already about Perek Bet, so what does it tell us in Perek Bet? What's different about man in Perek Bet than in Perek Aleph? So now we're going to read Perek Bet. And then we're going to do all the mefarshim. Breshit Perek Bet. In Pasuk Dalet, it intrudes to us. Ela toldot ha-shamayim va'aretz bihibaram, biyom asot ha-shem elokim eretz v'shamayim. This is the story of the heavens and the earth, when they were created, in the day that Hashem made heaven and earth. What's totally different already in the intro of Perek Bet? Right, we all know this is the classic material. What do we have? Eretz v'shamayim, everything's together, everything is defined together, there's no light, there's no hierarchy. We're putting everything already in a general context, in a general unit. And the language is that everything is waiting, it's anticipating, it's expectant. All of Perek Bet is expectant language. In Perek Aleph, you don't know what's coming next. Hashem creates heaven and earth, Hashem creates light, Hashem creates the creepy crawlies, Hashem creates the things that grow. But in Perek Bet, right, we have this idea, everything is about to grow. Everything is waiting for the rain. Everything is waiting for the dew to come. Everything's waiting for man to do what? La'avod et ha'adama. What's the image of man in Perek Bet? To work the soil. La'avod et ha'adama. Look at the psukim. V'chol siach hasadeh terem yeh ba'aretz. Right? V'chol esef hasadeh terem yitzmach. Things didn't happen yet. Everything's anticipated. Right? Expectant. We're waiting. Why? Ki lo himtir Hashem Elokim ala aretz. Because Hashem didn't bring the rain. What does that mean? In Perek Aleph, what does it seem like? Everything can multiply by itself. Everything's its own kind, and Hashem gave everything the power to procreate and multiply on its own. You don't need Hashem. Everything has its own power, and who really is going to rule the earth? Man. But rule, control. In Perek Bet, what is man's role? Ve'adam ayin la'avod et ha'adama. Man is not here to work the land, which means in Perek Bet, what is man? Caretaker. Man is guarding what God already created. Man is not creative, he's not controlling. And not only that, right, Pasuk Zayin, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim et ha'adam Afar min adama. In Perek Bet, what is man? Created from the dust. In Perek Aleph, what is he? Image of God. Right? Selem Elokim. In Perek Bet, Afar min adama. What does Hashem have to do? Vayipach ba pav nishmat chayim. He has to blow into his nostrils the power of life, which means man is needy, man needs God, man can't do anything without God, and he's really just dust without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayi adam lenefesh chaya. And in a sense, Adam is what? What's lenefesh chaya? Ramban mentions this. He's almost close to the animals. He has a different dimension, but can be seen more, right, as almost part of the animal kingdom. As opposed in Perek Aleph, what is Adam only spoken about? It's Selem Elokim. Vayita Hashem Elokim gan be'edem mikedem vayasem sham et ha'adam asher yatzar. What is vayasem sham et ha'adam asher yatzar? Man is passive. In all of Perek Bet, man is passive. God blows into his nostrils. Hashem puts him in Gan Eden. What's man's role? To watch Gan Eden, to work it. He didn't do it yet, but that's going to be his role. So far, man is passive, and he's totally under the rubric and control of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, as the Rav speaks about the lonely man of faith, Perek Bet really depicts sensitive man, religious man, right? Man who's needy, man who is lonely. A lonely man of faith, lonely and in need of a relationship, in need of something else. And that's why in the first thing that we see in Perek Bet is when Hashem takes Adam and puts him in Gan Eden, he's Le'ovdal L'Shomra. He has to watch it and guard it. In Perek Aleph, he has to control it. He has to create. He has to be part of the galaxy of, you know, heroes and leaders and power brokers in the world. But in Perek Bet, Le'ovdal L'Shomra. And the first time we have in creation, Lo Tov Heyot HaAdam Levado. If you thought about it, in all of Perek Aleph, what is the language that we use? Tov, 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 and Tov Ma'od. All of a sudden in Perek Bet, we have this idea of Lo Tov. And where does Lo Tov come in? Only when we talk about what? Heyot HaAdam Levado. It's not good for man to be alone. So now we have an existential question. Is Adam alone in Perek Aleph? What did we say? Who was man created with? With woman by his side. So what does it mean, Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? What is this state of aloneness that man is in? And what's not good about it? And what's the only thing about creation is what? It's not good for man to be alone. What about the animals? What about other creations? What about the grass? What about the fact that there's no rain? Which means in Perek Bet, what are we only focused on? Man. And what are we focused on? His loneliness. And his being alone. But we know that woman was created. So what is happening here that he needs all of a sudden what? Ezer kinigdo. Here, how is woman depicted? As an Ezer, opposite man. In Perek Aleph, what was she? A unit. Zachar nekeva bara otam. Bitzelem Elokim. She was created exactly at the same moment as man and has the exact role. Hashem blesses them, Pruvu. Both of them have to conquer. Both of them have to control the earth. So what is happening in Perek Bet, and what does this add to us about the dimension of man, about his relationship, about man-woman relationship in Perek Bet? Which means both prakim are coming to teach us different parts of man. Again, as the Rav said, there's a majestic man, there's a controlling, powerful, creative side that we have, and then there's a lonely, sensitive, needy side that we have. So how do you really put these two things together? And what does it mean that she's going to be an Ezer Kenegdo? Because who's in the center here? Adam. And what is she? An Ezer opposite him. He's the one we're talking about. He's the main object, and she just revolves around him. When Perek Aleph, what did we discuss? A total unity, a total equality, a total connectedness, and similarity of goals. So what is Ezer Kenegdo, and what does it mean, Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? And then Isha is created. So now we're going to try to find this out. So what does this mean to us today? What were the Chachamim trying to tell you? What is the Midrash trying to tell you? What's the Torah trying to tell you? Which means, why do we have these two ideas of creation about man, but we're focusing on man and woman? What are the messages that we get from this definition, from this depiction in Perek Aleph and Perek Bet? So we're going to see. How does the Bereishit Rabbah really see this idea of Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? And what we're going to see very interestingly is that most of the Mefarshim and the Midrashim really take this whole thing as a lesson about relationship, about man and woman. That the relationship part of man and woman is really the key that Perek Aleph and Bet are talking about. Not your goals, not what your role necessarily is, but the relationship between man and woman and how they interact, and that's the key to harmony and to success in life. And that's fascinating, because the Chachamim really see, right, these messages in Perek Aleph and Bet, as we understood the questions that we have with the words, as really educational. as the idea that it's hashkafic, meaning what are they trying to tell you? Because obviously there's not a blueprint for the world, right? This is not telling us if you took all the pieces together, you can create a world out of this. So what is the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to the Midrash and according to Chazal and according to the Parshanim? Okay, so we're going to start with the Bereishit Rabbah. What is one of the main Midrashim that we have about Lo Tov Hayot Adam Levado? Right? What could you pretty much say? Lo Tov Hayot Adam Levado. You need someone to help you. You need someone to wash the dishes. You need someone to buy the clothes. You need someone to make sure everything's taken care of. And that's why you need an Ezer Kenegdo. So we would anticipate maybe that's what the Midrash really wants to say. We know the Bereishit Rabbah is our first level of Parshanut Midrashit. So this is the first line that we have of formal Midrash. So here, let's read some of it. Lo Tov. So what does Lo Tov mean? Tani Rabbi Yaakov. Okay, so we know that this is from Mishnaic material, Rabbi Yaakov. So we're going all the way time to times of the Mishnah. So this is our early first line of Parshanut. What does he say? Kol she'ein lo isha sharui belo tova. If you don't have a wife, you don't have any goodness. Belo ezer, you have no help. Belo simcha, without any happiness. Belo bracha, without any bracha. Belo kapara, without any forgiveness. Okay. How does the Midrash work? As we said earlier, right, the Midrash works as Parshanut, explanation of the text, but also works as a homiletical tool, right, in order to teach you a drasha, a lesson. But what does it always have to base it on? On a proof text, on a pasuk, right? And what did Rabbi Yaakov do? He took every single pasuk from Torah and puts together all the different psukim that have a connection with a wife, with a partner, with your bayit, and puts it together and wants to show what? That really, in all of Tanakh, what's the message that we get if you're not connected to a wife? Then you don't have any goodness, you don't have bracha, you don't have kapara, which means what's the secret to life? A relationship with a wife. And look what it says. Kol she'ein lo isha sharui belo tova, which means we went from this idea of man and woman, and what are we really discussing? Husband and wife. Which means the Midrash wants you to understand, Ezer Kenegdo, Ish Isha, Du Partzufim, not just on the idea of role of men, role of women, but the idea of the relationship between husband and wife. And what's the point? The only way to go is marriage. That's the only way to go. We don't have celibacy, we don't have people being on their own. That's really not seen as an ideal in Torah and in Halakha. So right away from the beginning of Bereshit, what is it telling you? That's the ideal. The ideal is to be married. The ideal is to have a partner. Right? So kol she'ein lo isha sharui belo tova, belo ezer, belo simcha, belo bracha, belo kapara. So we need proof texts, right? Belo tova. Where do you find that you don't have any goodness? Obviously from our pasuk. Lo tov heyot adam levado. Belo ezer, without a help, eselo ezer kenegdo. So this midrash reads the word ezer kenegdo as what? A helpmeet? Opposite him. But kenegdo is seen as what? With him. Helping him. Because clearly Rabbi Yaakov is reading ezer kenegdo as what? Only positive. She's a help. She's next to him as a help. What's the other pasuk? Belo simcha v'samachta atah ubeitecha. So bayit is really seen as isha, which means this midrash is trying to say that the ideal situation is family. The ideal situation is husband and wife. What does Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi say? Af belo shalom. If you're not married, you don't have shalom. Where do we see that? Vata shalom ubeitcha shalom. And then we go on, right, to see you don't have life, rei chayim imi isha asher ahavta. You also are not complete. You also are limiting the image of God. Because what does it say? Is the last line. Ki betzelem elokim asa ata adam. Umaychti vacharav vatem pruvu. So one view is that the ideal situation is marriage. Ish v'isha. But what's another view of eselo ezer kenegdo? Also in this Bereishit Rabbah. It's on the next line. Eselo ezer kenegdo. Im zacha ezer. The im lav kenegdo. Which means, what's another way to read Ezer kenegdo? Ezer, right? She's either a help, or she's what? Kenegdo. Or she's opposite him. Which means, what does Ezer kenegdo mean? Either she's helping him. The first midrash that we read, Ezer kenegdo meant what? She's a helper with him. Kenegdo meaning standing with him, right? But here we have Eselo Ezer kenegdo, im zacha Ezer, the im lav kenegdo. And we all know this. Where do we see the echo of this midrash? Who quotes this midrash? Rashi. So go to the next page. We're on 7. So our question is, what is the life of these midrashim? And what are the messages that the mefarshim and the midrashim are trying to give us? So Rashi uses this midrash, and let's see the two things that Rashi says here. Lo tov heyot. What does Rashi say on lo tov heyot? Shelo Yomru, which means what could have Rashi picked, or Breshit Rabbah. What do we know Rashi does many times? Picks our Midrashim, right? And from Breshit Rabbah, especially in Sefer Breshit. So Rashi, who knows this Midrash, because he takes the back of it, the end of it, right? So the fact that he's not using that Midrash, right, for his Perush, but picks something else, is also very instructive to us. Lo Tov Heyot, Shelo Yomru Shtei Rashuyotem. What's Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? What is Rashi focusing on? Livado, alone. It's not good for man to be alone. Why? Shelo yomru shtei rashuyotem. You shouldn't say there are two controlling forces in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yachid ba'elyonim ve'en lo zok. Who's the only one who's alone in the heavens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God. V'zeh and man yachid batachtonim ve'en lo zok. Again, man is one unit, even though he's male and female, he's one unit. If he doesn't have a partner, what is everyone going to say? Man rules the earth, and God rules the heavens. What's very interesting to us? Rashi emphasizes in Perek Aleph the whole idea of harmony. Right? Every day something had its complement. We have light and dark. We have the heavens and we have the earth. Right? And every day there was something to kind of counteract the other powers. But what was created on the sixth day? Man. And what is he seen as? The only controlling power on the earth. So what would creation think? Man is the power on earth and Hashem is the power on high. So look what Rashi does. Eselo Ezer Kenegdo. What is the power on this earth that is going to limit the ego and the over-controlling macho view of man? Ezer Kenegdo. Zacha Ezer lo zacha Kenegdo leilachem. Which means, who puts man in his place, in a sense, Rashi wants to say? The Isha. If he's worthy, and he's not egomaniacal, right, doesn't see himself as a controlling force, then she is going to be an Ezer. But lo zacha, if he's not worthy, really, if the man is not worthy, what is she? Kenegdo lehilachem. Which means Rashi doesn't take only the cushy, snowy view, right, in the Midrash that we had. Rashi takes that second view, which means what is the role of woman? To really balance out the man. Because what is Rashi's theme in all of creation? Balance, harmony. And if man is on this world and he's by himself, right, what's the goal of the woman? If he's going in the right direction, so she encourages him and keeps him on that track. If he's not in the right direction, what's her job? Kinegdo lehilachem. And this is so important to us because Rashi earlier, for kivshuha, for conquering, doesn't say that man and woman necessarily work together to conquer the world because the woman's role is not really to go and fight. But yet, Rashi uses what language for the woman here? Lehilachem, which means in domestic areas, within the family, right, in those areas, the woman has a huge role. Within the relationship of man and woman, she has equal footing. Either she's an Ezer, or she's Kenegdo lehilachem, which means Rashi wants to see this harmony, this balance is very important to Rashi in the relationships that we have. So that is Rashi's contribution here. The Ibn Ezra, again, Ibn Ezra is the Spanish school, really pshat. So what are we not expecting him to bring here, even though he does bring it earlier, the Dupartzufin? What does Rashi say, what does Ibn Ezra say for Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? Vayomer Tam Lo Tov La Adam, right? It's not good for man to be alone. And what does Ezer mean? Tovim Ashnayim Min Ha'achad. Two are better than one. And in Kohelet, what does it mean when it says two are better than one? We just read this on Sukkot. What are two are better than one? If one falls, the other one will help them. If the one's cold, the other one will make them warm. Which means Ibn Ezra is seeing the idea of Lo Tov Hayot Adam Levado Eselo Ezer Kenegdo on what plane? The more practical plane. She'll help him. Two are better than one. Right? It's no big existential idea. It's not the idea of balancing each other. You need help in this world, so two are better than one. And he really follows the view of Rasag and the Spanish school of seeing this in this way, but not completely only practical, but he sees this because we're going to see a little later what's important to the Ibn Ezra. So here we have Rashi on one hand, we have Ibn Ezra, and now we're going to look at Ramban. What does Ramban say about Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado? And Ramban brings in the earlier Midrash. Ramban says that earlier man was created male and female, right? If you look at the relationship between man and woman just for procreation, man and woman, even as one unit, had the ability to have children. So he's not separating them so they can have children. Because already, Perek Aleph, when Hashem said Pru Urvu and Hashem said Kitov, man and woman could have children. So Hashem is not separating just for the practical idea of being able to procreate and have more children. Because that we already had in Perek Aleph. And now I'm going to read the words so you'll see it inside. Lo Tov Heyot Adam Levado, we're on number 9, we're doing the Ramban. Einenu nir'eh shenivra ha'adam liyot yachid ba'olam v'lo yolid. It's impossible that Hashem created man in Perek Aleph, the way he's depicted, alone, that he couldn't have children. Because what's the whole idea of creation? Pru urvu. What's the whole idea of goodness? That they can procreate and continue themselves. Shekol ha'nivraim zacharu nekeva. Mikol basar nivru lakim zera. Right? Everything was to procreate. Gam ha'esef, even the grass, v'ha'etz, even the trees, v'zar'am bahem. Everything had seeds. Everything could procreate. Aval yitachen lomar. Ki haya ki divrei ha'omer du partzufim nivru. V'na'asu shiyu bahem teva mevi be'evarei ha'holada min ha'zachar l'nekeva koach molid. But he says, absolutely, the way man was created, male and female, was that they were able to give birth even in the state of being one. Why? Because otherwise, Hashem couldn't say tov. Hashem couldn't say that the ultimate view of goal of creation was fulfilled. But number 10 is really the continuation of this Ramban. V'haya ha-partzuf ha-sheni ezer la-rishon betoldo. V'ra'a kodesh baruch hu. And this is the key of the Ramban. Ki tov shiyeh ha-ezer omed le-negdo, v'hu yir'enu v'yipared mimenu v'yitchaber elav kefi ritzono. When man and woman were together, they didn't have any individuality. They didn't have their own identity. They were always together. It's important in a relationship that you could be individuals, you could be separate, you could have your own identity. And even though they were able to have children, the goal in creation is not just to procreate. It's to have an identity. It's to be your own person. It's to be able to come together when you want to be a unit, but also to have your own space. And we see this in the brachot that we give, on the Sheva brachot in marriage. We have two different types of brachot, and what is the paradigm that we use always for the brachot? We talk about Gan Eden. We talk about Adam and Chava. We talk about Re'im Ha'ahuvim. We talk about friends and also lovers, which means what is that multiple relationship, that complicated relationship that we have between husband and wife? It's Re'im, it's friends, but also it's what? Ahuvim. It's the practical, the helping, but it's also lovers. It's also this romantic relationship. And how do you achieve that? If you're always together, you don't have that ability to make choices. You don't have that ability to develop as individuals and then make free choices of how you want to be together as a unit. And we have two different brachot. One ends mesameh chatan v'kala, and the other ends mesameh chatan im hakala. Why don't we just say mesameh chatan v'kala twice? Why do we say im hakala and v'kala? What's the difference? Because in one view, it's imakala, right? They are together as one unit. Mesameh chatan imakala. You have to see yourself at times in a relationship as one. Husband and wife have to be as one unit. Where did we have that? In the beginning of creation. It's almost you're inseparable. You always are together. There is something about that identity. But over here the Ramban says, so why separate them? Why not keep us together? And then we're always together. Because that's not good either. Each one has to have their own identity. It's zachar and nekeva, but also each one has to develop their own ideas, their own abilities, their own reality and personality, that when they do come together, it's out of a free will. It's a certain relationship, and each one has to develop in their own way. So that's what the Ramban is saying. And in a beautiful way, the Akedat Yitzchak is 14th century, originally from Spain, then leaves to Italy. Beautiful parshanut. That he has, and he goes like a step further with this. And he asks the question, how come we have Isha called Isha by Adam in Perek Aleph? And then in the end, what name does she get? Chava, because she's Ein Kol Chai. So, are we Isha, like man, right? Lezoti kare Isha, Ezer kenegdo, or are we Ein Kol Chai? Are we mother? Which means, what is our role here in this world? Are we woman, like man? Or are we mother? And that's really our only and main role. So Akedat Yitzchak, the Yitzchak Arama, says something very interesting. And we're at number 11. So he, again, everyone is trying to add. You have to understand, all these Parshanim are reading each other, right? And each one is adding a different nofach, a different dimension to this Parshanut. V'hinei b'shnei ha-shemot ha'ele, in the two names, Isha and Chava, we're at number 11, nitba'er shekvar yesh la'isha shnei tachliot. Woman really has two goals in life. Ha'echad, one, ma sheyoreh alav shem isha, the word isha, ki me'ish lukach hazot. She is taken from a man, which means there's ish and isha. There is zachar and nekeva. At the moment of creation, we were created b'tzelem elokim. We were both told to control, which means the equality between man and woman, the identical role, which means there's part of us that has this identical role in humanity. If you look at halacha, really, most of the halachot of men and women are identical. I like to say that they're convergent circles. So you have one, I should have done it, my Venn diagram on the sheet. Right, you have two circles, they really come together. Most of what we have as halachot are really in the joint area of man and woman. Then, beautifully, we also have different halachot that identify each one of us separately, which we have our own role. But the commonality of the mitzvot are really mostly in the middle, that we really share. And then we have in each end, right, we have the mitzvot nashim, and then we have many of the mitzvot of the gvarim. But what he wants to say is that we have two goals. What are they? Mashi yore alav shem isha ki mi'ish lukach hazot v'kamohu, and just like man, tuchal lahavin, understand, ulahaskil, be intelligent, b'divrei sechel, intelligent, v'chasidut, in spirituality and in gmilut chasadim, k'mo she'asu ha'imahot v'kama tzidkaniyot v'niviyot. Which means, just like we did in class many, many times here in Midrash at Yom Rishon, what's the message of Miriam? What's the message of Sarah? What's the message of Benot Slovchad? Right, we can go through the whole list that we did together. What's the message of Chana? Right? What's the message of Esther, of Ruth, of many of these individuals? The idea is, right, their greatness and their ability, right, to act in ways that changes history, to use their intelligence, to be real players on the face of the earth, that is definitely part of the role of woman. Like them. We look to them as role models. That's the Isha goal. Like man. To be creative, to be intelligent, to be spiritual, to really make our imprint on this world, like man, pru uvum milua ta'aretz v'kitshua. That is part of our goal. On the other hand, v'hasheni, inyana holada. Another part of our greatness is this idea of giving birth, of being mother, v'gidul habanim, raising the children. Kasher yorea le'a shem chava, which means we really have a dual goal. It's not one goal, only mother. Mother's a great role, and it is wonderful, and just by being mother and educating your children, you're already doing both, right? Because you have to be intelligent, smart, creative, in order to raise your children. But even already in the original imprint, your goal could be to have influence on the world. It's not just, oh, that's really your goal, and you could do that as extra credit if you want. According to Yitzhak Arama, your original goal is to do both. You might not want to fulfill both, and you have choices, and you might not want to agree with the Yitzhak Arama, but according to Yitzhak Arama, you have those two goals, right? And not every man either is a great communal leader or spiritual or great intellect either, so we'll leave it at that. Okay? V'gidul abanim, kasher yorei alei Hashem chava, kasher hi haita em kol chai. We have a dual role. We have the role of intellect, we have the role of spirituality, and we also have the role of Ein Kol Chai, of motherhood. It's these two things that you really have to integrate. And that's why we have this name Isha, and we have this name Chava, which means both these avenues are open to us, and are avenues that we can really fulfill, but not like, oh, you only do Chava, and Isha is like an extra. Because what does he say in the end? Ki vadai toldoteim shel tzadikim masim tovim. Which means every human being on this earth, especially tzaddikim, but all of us, what is our legacy? Not only our children, not only our DNA, it's our good deeds, it's how we influence our family, or how we influence the bigger community, right? So it's our ma'asim tovim that really are our continuity, and that's why he explains, right, Yitzhak Rama doesn't have this in Breishit, in Perek Aleph and Bet. He has it with Yaakov and Rachel. Why was Yaakov upset with Rachel? Because when she said, Havali banim v'imayim meta anochi, if you don't give me children, I'm zero, he says, you're not. What about your Isha side? Of course, we all want to have children, b'li'ayin hara. My biggest accomplishment are my children, right? But, right, what other accomplishment? And if you don't have children, are you a successful person? Are you a successful woman? Absolutely, says Yitzhak Arama. Your development of Isha, your development of who you are and what you contribute to society. Al kein chara af Yaakov Rachel. That's why Yaakov was upset with Rachel, because she said, my only goal is motherhood. And what is Yaakov telling her? You also have this idea of Isha. Why are you letting that go? Why are you not thinking that that is also fulfillment in life? So that's a very interesting Yitzhak Arama, again, explaining and expanding what is the role of Isha. Sforno also has a very interesting idea. And again, we're moving ahead chronologically. Sforno, very influenced by the Abravanel, especially in some of these parsha, in his parsha note here. Lo tov ayot adam levado. Lo yusag tov v'hatachlit ha-mechuvan b'dimuto b'tsalmo im yitztarek lihitasek hu atzmo v'tzarchei chayav. The Sforno emphasizes what about Isha? What is her addition to man? What does it mean? He couldn't fulfill his ultimate goal if he has to deal with the nitty-gritty of his life. Meaning, so according to Sforno, what's her main contribution? She does the practical, while man does the more intellectual, right? Again, where did we see already a little hint of the practical? We saw with Ibn Ezra, so early Spanish school. I didn't bring in the Abravanel, actually, on purpose. In this situation, those who are my students will smile and laugh at this point. But Sforno sees it more in a practical. But even the woman, if you see the woman more of a practical to help man achieve his main goal, why does she have to be Ezer Kenegdo? Why does not pick anybody? Why? Your companion has to be almost equal to you in tselem udmut. She has to be intellectual. She has to be spiritual. She has to be understanding. She has to be thinking. Because if she's going to be your enabler, right? If she's going to be your enabler, what does she have to know about you? What you need? What you want? What's important to you? And to do that, she has to be an equal partner. She has to understand about you. She has to know your psyche. She has to know your emotion. So she has to be similar, right? So what's the point? So she'll know when you need whatever you need. What's kenegdo? And this is a very nice idea. He says, what does kenegdo mean? Equal and opposite on a scale, right? If you're equal and opposite on a scale, then what do you are? You are equal and balanced, which means ezer kenegdo means you have the same value. But the Sforno says, we're not going to read every word, but please read it as I explain this. One, the woman has to be just like a minuscule or a incomprehensible drop less, right? So she's like a little lower than the man. Why? Because who is the one that you always have to enable? The husband. It's Ezer Kenegdo. So even though they're equal in every single way, she's a little lower. Why? Because otherwise there's always going to be competition. Who's enabling whom? Which we all know that's always the big issue. And a relationship, is his learning more important? So you have to do the other things, especially when you're married to someone who's a big Talmud Chacham. That's always an issue. Whose Torah learning or value is more important? We know Halacha definitely sees the man has the obligation of Torah learning and Torah study. And, that's always an issue, right? So Sforno wants to solve that by saying this. So there's an equality, but the woman always has to see herself in an enabler job, even though she's almost equal. So almost equal, and she has to be, you know, similar, otherwise they won't be a good match. But somehow she will always have to see herself in the enabler job. Not as a lesser thing, but in always to make sure that she sees herself as the one who helps in the family, and not to mix gender roles. So that's very important to the Sforno. And that's why he says, Amnam lo haya ra'ui, last line, shehaya ha'ezer shavelo legamrei, ki az lo ra'ui sheyavod v'sharech echad mehem et chaveiro. Which means her job is really enabler, wonderful, but enabler. So again, we see this very interesting in the Spanish school. That's just like an aside for those who are interested in the details of Parshanut. So now we're going one step ahead, and we're going to the Kli Yakar. Rav Yaakov Lunshitz, he's 17th century, he's in Central Europe, and he has a very nice idea. Again, each one's building on the other and giving another idea. What's lo toveyot adam levado? We're going to wrap all the ideas up also. What's lo toveyot adam levado? They started as one unit. Why do you have to start as one unit? Because if you start as one unit, what does that say about you? You are really from the same thing. If you start from different chomer, from different material, then you'll always have conflict. You'll always have separation. But the idea that we start as du partzufim, that we started as one unit, shows what about us? That we have a certain commonality and compatibility. And this commonality and compatibility is the secret to life. Why? I'll start in the middle of the Kli Yakar. V'lo yeh hatov davek bahem, yan yihyu nedarim min ha'ahava v'ha'achdut. The fact that we were one gives us what? Love and unity. V'yu krovim lavo lidei peirud u'miriva. If we weren't made from the same thing, then constantly what would there be between man and woman? Conflict, because we're different, we're made from different things. So he wants to show that this idea that man and woman were from the same thing, this shows that we really always have the chance of what in a relationship? To really come back together. Not that you always have to look at us as yin and yang, just the opposite. You always have to look at us that we really started from the same thing. So what's our goal in a relationship is always to try to find that harmony, always to try to find that unity, because it's there for us. Which means not to look as male and female, Venus and Mars, is it? Right? And we're always talking on different levels, and there's no way we can really come together. According to Kli Yakar, the fact that we started as one is the key to a successful relationship, because we really always started as one. And what does he say? And this is important. The last three lines, first words. Kshiyu mina chomer echad, az ye kol echad le'ezer ulehoil el hasheni. Whereas earlier we spoke about man and she's the Ezer Kenegdo, what is the Kli Yakar already introducing here? That's not just the woman's really helping the man. Really, what do we have? One is helping the other. Man is helping woman, and woman is helping man. Which means we're moving away from the idea, ezer kenegdo, is that man is in the center, but the idea is that each one is helping the other equally. And this started because we were created equally together, du partzufim. And what does he say so beautifully? What is kenegdo? What did we say earlier kenegdo is? It could be next to, and it could be opposite. Lehi lachem. But the Kriyakar says something beautiful. What do we say about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shiviti, just look at the second to last line. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Which means, what does it mean? I think of Hashem opposite me all the time. Not that I'm fighting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. Shiviti Hashem lenegdi tamid. Who do I see opposite me all the time? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What do you have to see in a relationship? You and your husband always have to see each other in the relationship. What are you thinking about the other person? What's the other person thinking? How do you work together in order to reach some kind of harmony? So it's not kenegdo, that we're fighting against each other. It's just the opposite. You're always thinking about the other person. How can you do for the other person? And each one is thinking about the other. Not just that the woman sees her role as enabling the husband, but Kli Yakar wants to say it's a little more of the both helping each other. And as we move along, we see that Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch really wants to emphasize this. Remember, Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, we're talking 1808 to 1888, Germany, he's fighting against the reform and a negative view towards Chumash, towards Tanakh, and towards Chazal. So what was really moving around in that time? Oh, women is secondary, women is not important. Look at the psukim, right? She's just created from the side, and she has no, there's no respect. So what does he want to write? And this is the Rav Hirsch, and that's the bottom of page 3. It does not say that it was not good for man to be alone. But this is not good, man being alone. So what does he want to say? Perfection will never be reached so long as man stands alone. So what's the completion of good is the woman. And what does he say? Goodness was only brought to mankind by woman. And this fact is so deeply appreciated by the rabbis, he has in parentheses. You understand, Rav Hirsch really is writing polemically, meaning he's writing for a crowd and he wants to say, don't listen to the reform, don't listen to the secularists of our generation that are denigrating the way Chazal see Isha. No, what did the Chachamim, what did the rabbis say? They taught in the Talmud, only through his wife does a man become a man. Only a husband and wife together were Adam. So what midrash is Rav Hirsch using? The first midrash that we did, the Breishit Rabbah, he wants to show that's what the Chachamim are all about. It's only through woman, right, that man can really be fulfilled. It's only this harmony between the two. And what does he want to say? What does Ezer Kenegdo mean? What is Ezer Kenegdo? This designation expresses, last two lines, the dignity of woman. It contains not the slightest reference to any sexual relationship. Going back to the Ramban. What did the Ramban say? Originally in Perek Aleph, what could you do? They already could have children. So it's not about having children that they separated man and woman. It's this idea of Ezer Kenegdo, this idea of being individual. This idea, and he's actually taking the Ramban one step further of saying, what is that separation? That it contains not the slightest reference, right? She's placed purely in the realm of men's work, because that's where she was missing. Let's go to the last page, 4. But rather complete equality, look at the words he uses, on the footing of equal independence, which means he's taking the Ramban and expanding it, which means it's all about equality, it's all about independence. And woman stands to man kinegdo, parallel on the line by his side. Not a step a little lower like we saw with the Sforno, but it's equal, it's independent. They have different roles, but the value is equal. And as the Rav always says about the value and the role of Isha and Adam, of man and woman, is that they have equal Kedushat Yisrael, equal Kedushat HaAdam. Even though the roles might be different and the mitzvot might be different, the Kedusha of the individual and their contribution to society is equal, is parallel in that sense. So now we're going to get to the last, sorry, I do want to finish this last piece. Now we get just the last little word of advice that the Mefarshim gives. So far we saw how we develop in the idea of equality, how the idea of being created together really defines and really influences our hashkafa. So I just want to finish with this last idea. In the end of Perek Bet, we have this pasuk: Al ken yazov ishet aviv imo v'davak bishto v'ayul basar echad. Man has to leave his mother and father, cleave unto his wife, and they should be of one flesh. Hello? We're talking about Adam, Isha, right? We're talking about Chava. All of a sudden, in the end of Perek Bet, how are we defining Adam, right? Al ken yazov ish et aviv imo. We didn't have parents, right? We have a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We don't have the definition of parents all of a sudden in Perek Aleph and Bet. All of a sudden, we're sticking in parents. You have to leave your parents, and you have to cleave unto your wife, and you have to be of one flesh. Where does this come in? If we look at it, then it's giving a hashkafa, and it's giving you an outlook for life. Clearly, Perek Aleph and Bet have to end that way. If we're all talking about relationship, then we're talking about how do you make that next step. So how do you break from your parents who have raised you and are your family? How do you make that next step to forge a new relationship? So that's, I'm going to end with these. Again, I told you I have marriage on the brain. Number 15 is Onkelos. What does Onkelos say? What's Alken Yazov Isha David Imo V'Davach B'Ishto? You leave your parents and you cleave onto your wife. So Onkelos says, Alken Yishbok Gevar Beit Mishkevei Avohi. You leave your parents home. It's not talking about, you know, leaving them in a relationship, right, that you're not close with them anymore. You leave your parents home and you move into a new house. That's how you start a new relationship. That's the Onkelos. What does Rashi say? Alken Yazov Ish, Ruach HaKodesh, this is HaKodesh Baruch Hu telling Moshe to write this in the Torah, La'asor Arayot al Bnei Noach, which means, it's to teach you, Alken Yazov Ish Davivi Imo, you can't pick a wife from your parents. It's against incest, right? And what's V'hayula Basar Echad? Havlat Notzar Alidei Shnehem. What does Rashi say? Very practically, what's the Basar Echad that husband and wife become? The child. So in the children, you see a connection between husband and wife. What does Ibn Ezra say? Ibn Ezra says, "What's v'hayulu basar echad? Ki ilu hem, o sheidmu kasher hayu." Very beautiful. What is Ibn Ezra saying? Ah, you thought originally he said, "Ezer kenegdo" means what? Tovim ashnayim mina echad. Lo tov ayot adam lo. But this is practical. She helps him. But Ibn Ezra says, why do you leave your parents and you cleave unto your wife? Why? V'hayulu basar echad. What does it mean? They're one flesh. Ki ilu hem, o sheidmu kasher hayu. Which means, like they were in the beginning. And as I said, it's very unusual. Ibn Ezra brings a midrash, but he brings the two parts of the midrash. What does it mean? Your relationship with your wife has to be like what? Like the du partufim, cleave onto your wife as one. So it's as if you're one. It's like you were in the beginning, du partufim. V'yesh omrim, like Rashi, and who Rashi quotes, she'elidu acher, or echad, that they're giving birth to one, and that's what it's about, v'hu rachok. The words don't mean that we're talking about the child. What are we talking about? The relationship. V'hayula basar echad is the relationship of husband and wife. And how can you have that relationship? Because you were already in du partzufim. And what does that relationship have to feel like? Like basar echad, as if you're one. And Radak is also commenting on this. He says, I like the Onkelos that says you leave your parents home and you cleave unto your wife. But he wants to make sure. Don't think when you leave your parents home that you don't love them and respect them anymore. Alken yazov isha davivi imo doesn't mean you get married and all of a sudden you throw away the parents. What does Radak say? Radak says, Alken yazov ish. Yesh mefarshim ki zeh pasuk divrei Moshe lo divrei Adam. V'nachon ki Adam amro. This is Adam, Adam, giving advice. V'yodea haya ki olid banim. He knew he'd have children. Kilakach nivrai is created to have children. Ulaholid humino baolam kishar balei chayim, like other animals. Upshat hakatuv karov l'targumo. But the pshat is really close to Onkelos. My targum is always Onkelos. Kilo amar shiazov ish et aviv v'imo ba'avur ishto, to leave the parents for the wife. Shelo ya'avdem, he shouldn't work for his parents, and he shouldn't respect his parents. V'lo ya'chavdem kifi kocho, that he shouldn't leave his parents, which means he likes Onkelos. What did Onkelos say? You leave your parents' house. But it doesn't mean what? You leave your parents, right? And you become a new unit. Ela mar ki dinhu ki azov ish david imo. You have to leave your parents' house, but it's so hard. Shegadal imahem, which means, what's so difficult in a relationship, in a marriage? You leave your parents, you grew up for so many years, you're so close to them, and you have this woman that you're, or this man that you're connected to, and all of a sudden you have to create a very strong relationship with him, with them, but that's what it has to be. Ad shenasa isha v'yazven miladur imahem. So really, Radak is saying, what's the main difference of marriage? You're living in a new house. You're living separately, you're not living in the parents' home. Right? So he's saying, that's pretty much like Onkelos. What did Ibn Ezra start saying? It's about the relationship. So Ramban solves this whole issue. And he says, I don't agree with Rashi. Right? What did Rashi say? It's about the child. Right? That's what it means to be one unit. He says, if you just want to say that you live somewhere else or you have connections with something else or you're making more of something else, the animals do that. So what does Hashem have to tell the people to do something special about that? Right? So it's clearly not. And what do we see constantly in Ramban? It's not the practical about having children. It's not the practical about that. It's all about relationships. It's all about how the husband and wife interact. What is this individuality? What are the choices you make when you get married? So let's see the last thing that Ramban says. So the idea is that man and woman, humans, are really loyal to their spouses. We don't find that in the animal kingdom. Yazov ish David imo v'davak b'ishto, which means the whole idea of the sanctity of the family unit. The whole idea that husband and wife, humans, really care about their spouses, and they really stick together. And not only that, he says, it's so hard to leave your parents that you were so close to them, and your family. Radak left out, he just says you move away into a different house. But what does Ramban want to add to that? And we know Ramban read Radak and he's commenting on this. Ramban is saying it's not just practically that you're moving into a new house. Right? What really is it about? That you have to see your wife as your closest ally. Which means your loyalty has to be first to the wife. And the wife's loyalty has to be first to the husband. In order to build a strong unit, then you have to have that strong loyalty. You have to have that strong relationship. How do you do that? We saw all the Mefarshim really speak about that idea of relationship. And the idea that we really all started as one, B'Tselem Elokim Du Partzufim, really hints to that idea that that kind of relationship is definitely doable. It is attainable. On the other hand, does it mean you lose your identity and you don't have your own ideas, you don't have your own creativity, and you don't develop yourself? Absolutely not. The idea is, in Perek Bet, we see the separation, we see the idea of individuality, and we saw how all the different Mefarshim really accent that point. And we see this idea of Mesameach Hatan Vekala and Mesameach Hatan Imakala. This idea of harmony, this idea of individuality, this idea of this intricate relationship that we find both elements which are really so important in going forward. So here we saw in the Pshat and in the Mefarshim how this whole hashkafa of the creation of woman, of the idea of developing yourself to your full capacity within the relationship and also as an individual, it's not just something that is really a modern idea. This is really already built into the Pshat in the Torah and how Chazal and the Mefarshim understand it. So I give us a bracha that we will be able to fill our Isha and Chava side in the ultimate way we can. Thanks so much.